This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! Yes. Mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Yeah, it's time to blow up the spot. The kings and queens, you know, KBI.
All right, just seeing if you're awake. If the alarm clock didn't go off, consider this your wake-up call. Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show with your rockin' friends, Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. How are you, Chris?
If our automotive advice wasn't annoying enough.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know?
What was that? That was painful. What was that?
It's a scandal. Look at all the young graffiti vandals.
Kill by inches. And I'll tell you a funny story. You know how it goes.
I think you just did mine, yeah.
Yeah, you know how it goes, or maybe you don't. Music and the show became integral a few years ago, but it was usually, you know, sometimes...
Yeah, and I blame you for it.
Without a doubt, I take 100%...
take the blame.
Credit. And usually, you know, there'll be something I hear during a week that I say, hey, you know what, that's a great song, I want to play it, or it's a good show intro. I usually look for something that's snappy and gets your attention.
Right. So, yeah, you just did.
And many times what happens
I
wet
myself.
Yes. You should hear the rest of that CD. Many times it's not till Saturday afternoon or evening that I sit there and say, oh, I need music. And I have a stack of CDs near the computer So that's what happened last night. It got late.
It was impromptu music choices.
And the stack of CDs I had near me, now I'd used them all already, and there was I have 100 CDs. I've been collecting CDs for a number of years here from the station and other places, and I take them not for the CD. I take them for the jewel cases.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah.
Unlike a lot of people I know, I still burn CDs and use them and give them to people. So you need a jewel case. So I went into the closet. I took two stacks out and I started shuffling through them. And I had a couple that came over to the computer and I started scrubbing through them. I said, okay, this one's annoying enough. I can use it. So that's how the music was picked.
Got it. So you forego that Carpenter's CD for that.
Yes, correct. So if you want to talk about the music or ask about it or just talk about a car or a car question, you can give us a call at 516-572-7440. Follow us on social media, Motormouth Radio, on the web, on Twitter, and on Facebook. And it's real_Motormouth Radio on Instagram.
Yes, on the tip of your nose.
So that's I have a couple posts that are pending. Were you busy at all this week, automotively?
Oh, good God. I'm so glad you asked that question.
Mm-hmm.
What drama this week? Drama with a capital D, drama.
Really?
Holy smokes. I went to go take the Explorer over to go get it to get the emissions test. Now, the emissions tests up here in the Nutmeg State are incredibly easy. If you ask me personally, you bring the car in, they give you a quick enema and the car too, and then they pat you on the button and send you on your way with a piece of paper saying you passed. Usually.
That's good.
This is the first time I had a questionable emissions test.
No fool.
Where the gentleman hopped out of my car and I expected him to hand me a piece of paper. No, he hands me a series of papers and a pamphlet.
They said failed.
And then, yeah, well, oh, really? he said that my O2 sensor wasn't warming up.
Oh, yeah, the warm type. Yeah, because it's a heated O2, right.
All right. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So now I have to research it. And I found out that I have the upstream O2 sensor, which is before the catalytic converter.
Correct.
Those are what are known as air fuel sensors. They're not technically, they're O2 sensors, but they call them air fuel sensors.
And that would be bank one sensor one, bank two sensor one.
Right. Correct. So I literally had to do research on how to test them. And I was kind of glad that I had a scanner tool. Mm-hmm. I know mm-hmm. Uncle Yvonne would be very proud of me because I was able to test them and found them. They had both worked. They were in working condition. So I'm not changing those. But the downstream ones, which they do, Ford does consider those oxygen sensors.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And those downstream are on the other side or past the catalytic converter.
Right.
And one of them was in range. And when I mean range, it was between 0.1 volt and 0.9 volts. That was the range that the oxygen sensor needs to operate in. Well, this one was running a steady 0.035 to a 0.040.
Yeah, that's
right. That was it.
That's right. Yeah, it's a 1 volt range. That's typical. And that's why it's so hard to watch on a meter because it bounces so fast.
Yeah.
You can't really see it.
It was. Now, here's my theory. You know my theories.
Yeah.
But this theory actually makes a little sense. It is operating, but at a lower voltage than what it should be. So wouldn't it technically not be warming up? I mean, that's the way I'm looking at it. Well, it's operating, but it's not warming up. It hasn't failed, but it's out of spec.
Yeah, there's that. There's also, you know, it's a heated sensor. So there's a heater wire that'll actually preheat that oxygen sensor to get everything working faster. But yeah, the oxygen sensors do get tired over time and they get sluggish. And if there was any contamination like bad injectors or a bad cat or anything that went downstream, that can help exacerbate that sensor or sensors wearing out. And let's face it, just from age, they do that. So, yeah, I mean, this is the time where I would totally agree. Yeah, get a couple oxygen sensors, throw them downstream, and call them.
And that's what I did. Yeah. I ordered one. I just ordered one, just to make sure that it was because they're pretty penny. So
heated ones can be. Yeah.
Yeah, I went online, and who is it that had said to me? I remember a theory saying that it's $25 a wire. So if you got a one-wire oxygen sensor, it's $25. If you have a two-wire oxygen sensor, it was that sort of theory.
What brand did you purchase?
I did get a Motorcraft one.
Okay. Yeah, I like choosing like a Bosch or something like that, a name brand.
Well, but Motorcraft is fine. You know what's funny? I was thinking about getting a Bosch because I got Bosch fuel injectors in the car now.
Okay. All right. No, Motorcraft is fine. The other thing I want to say about that is the best way to check, like I said, with a meter or a scanner, you really can't watch that voltage because it's so close and so fast. That's the time you want a graphing scanner so you can see it in graph form. You can bring out the time base and you can see it, you know, in something that you could actually discern and understand.
Yes. And thankfully, my cheap Japanese scanner does that. So
it does graph.
Yes, okay. It does. Good. Do a graphic a graph mode. Perfect. So you're able to see the waveforms.
Perfect.
And one waveform was way up here and another one was way down here, but they were both working. They were both operating.
Right.
Just one was just out of spec.
Yeah, you know, maybe a few more months and that one would have been kaput and kaplu, you know, and that's it. But okay, good. So that's a success.
Yeah, so we're going to change that out. The other drama was the tracker, which I still cannot. Yeah. I can't squash out this PO507 code, and now I'm heading towards the EGR valve.
Okay.
So because everything else has been looked at or changed or tested, and and we have absolutely no vacuum leaks in this thing. I actually went and went over to the local Napa store and I bought lengths of hoses.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy was like, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm chasing the vacuum leak." He's like, "Well, okay, good. That's a good reason, because like they give you the weird look when you want like 5 feet of vacuum hose."
Just for the heck of it, did you put a vacuum gauge on the engine to see what it's pulling, what manifold vacuum is on that engine?
No, I didn't. Okay. I actually did not. But I have found out this: when you pop, it idles at a steady 1500 RPM. Steady. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It idles well, but and that's too high. But when you pop a vacuum line, it now idles at like 2000 RPM. Uh-huh. But I've come to realize this. This is what I found interesting. The more vacuum lines you pop off, the higher it will idle.
Oh, wow. At some point, that should reverse and stall. But
because here's what I did. I popped off one. It went up to $2,000. I popped off another one. It went to $2,500.
Maybe have an air compressor under the hood, not an engine. I don't know. It's, that's crazy.
So, it is. It is kind of nuts. And I'm just wondering. Where to go from here other than pulling the motor.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I've had a couple of issues like that relate to that this past week with my own vehicles. And one was, I think we talked about it last week. Tell me if we did. With when ordering parts, I think I told you about, did I tell you about the seal I had to buy for my dryer at home that I was searching for?
Oh, yeah. Speaking of dryers, real fast, my clothes dryer dropped the belt.
Yeah.
I got one on order now.
But it's the parts thing. And now this, I don't know, I'm talking about a dryer, but this is going to follow up to the car stuff, too. Mm-hmm. It's a stupid little felt seal and a tube of glue, and they wanted $50-something for it. And I said, no way am I giving you $50 for that stupid thing. And all the other appliance places were anywhere between $40-something and $57. I said, no. The first link was from Walmart, and I discount that link because we talked about this, right? Well, I bought it.
Yes, you mentioned Walmart, but Walmart was the one you were waiting for because you actually ordered from there,
I bought it from them, but from Walmart, it was a third-party seller. It's in an appliance repair place in the Midwest who sent it to me for $18, just what it's worth. I got it the other day. I was going to put it in the other day, but I thought we're going to have a rainy day, and we didn't. So I had other stuff to do. So there it is. So again, the parts is always an issue. I had to do I've had to do the water pump on the cruise for a while now. And that was other thing.
You were lamenting over this job.
And I spent $240 on a GM pump, a tensioner, and a bolt. Actually, it ends up I needed two bolts, but and took it apart Friday. That was my job on Friday.
Man, you spend money on that car like you plan on keeping it.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you the truth. If the issues I was having with it stop, my wife likes the car, so she would keep it, and I would consider keeping it. And this way, if I do decide that I want to sell it, I can sell it with a clear conscience. Because, like Dougie had asked me, one of the guys he works with needed a car for his daughter, and I said, listen, the car is great. It gets great marks, except I have to add coolant to it on a fairly regular basis, so you have to keep an eye on that. And I would feel wrong selling that to someone whose daughter was going to drive it, not open hood, and then overheat it and seize the engine.
Oh,
so,
totally agree. I'm with you on that 100%.
The $200 is conscience money at that point.
Yes. No, you definitely have a point. I agree.
So we went through that with finding that stuff too. But the story, it never ends there.
It's why this show has been going on for 20 years.
That's right. In that engine, the Ecotec, the water pump has the thermostat bolted right to it on one end.
Oh, wow.
And that's where the radiator hose goes, and there's another secondary hose that connects to that, right? So you have to, of course, remove that and replace it with the new pump.
Right.
So, but there is, on that housing, there is a, it's an EVAP fitting. Chevy uses this stuff. You would look at it under the hood and think that it was a bundle of wires because it's that corrugated black plastic stuff that they the wire wrap that GM used since the 70s.
Right, it's that loom.
Yeah. Right, except in this case, it is not a loom, and there are not wires in it. It's a vacuum hose.
Oh.
It's an EVAP hose, and it goes from that set, from the turbo right over there, across the valve cover, around the back, to the back of the valve cover. It's part of the PCV system. And of course,
is that the one that cracked?
Well, a couple of years ago when I was doing the thermostat, I had to remove that. I was doing valve cover and I had to remove that and it cracked. And it was Saturday at the shop. And I thought of you, Chris, because I said, boy, I'm glad I'm not at the shop with this car today because it cracked again, right at the fitting that's on the other side.
Oh.
The first crack was in the middle of the run, and I was able to put a piece of threaded pipe in it and goop it with some RTV and tape it up. You didn't even see it after I did it. And I said, yeah, I looked up the part, I found it, and I said, wow, they wanted like a lot of money for this. Someday I'll get to it. Out of sight, out of mind.
Exactly. It's working fine.
Now, the same thing broke, but on the other end where the one fitting is, and I said, okay, I can't jury-rig this. I can't. I have to replace it.
Right.
So I went in the house. I got on a computer. I fired up. I find the part. I got the part number, the GM part number.
Oh, mind you, for 1 second, and you can't go to a junkyard for this because that part is just as old out of whatever junkyard car. So you can't do that because you're going to get the same brittle part, same plastic junky GM crap that out of that car. So you have to order it new.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, of course, I find it online. It's $55. And I'm like, no way in hell. What is this, a dryer seal? No. I'm not paying $55 for this.
I'm going to Walmart.
So I did check at the local parts store by me.
Right.
And they wanted $85. Four.
Yeah.
And he might have gotten it for me by yesterday because I was checking on Friday. And I said, hey, you know what? What if put this through the shop. Yeah, we'll put this through the shop. All right, it's $73.
No, great. Like, even better.
I'll let you know. So I go back home and I look. I go back. I search by part number again. And I found an Amazon listing this time.
Ooh.
From a place that's like a parts warehouse.
Okay.
You want to take a guess on what the Amazon price was on this?
$53.
No. It was just like the dryer seal. It was $20.
What?
And I said, okay, add to cart. So
$20?
And that's what the damn piece of crap is worth. If it isn't even worth. So I said, you know what? It worked for the dryer seal. Let's see if it works for the for the PCV hose. And I ordered it. It won't be until probably coming in like on Wednesday. So I couldn't even start the car to verify the repair on the water pump. Mm-hmm. But you know, I will when I get that. And I said, you know, so here's two issues that I've had in the past week of parts being super in my impression, super expensive on one end. But if you look around, now I don't know, the dryer seal, I haven't put it in yet, so I don't know if it's going to fall apart. I'm expecting it'll be okay. I haven't gotten the evap hose yet either, so I might have gotten burned twice for saving money. Maybe, but I'm,
which has happened.
It has. But you know what? I'm counting on the fact that maybe I didn't. And because I've seen and I've talked to other people, and they're all going through the same thing with parts. I think you have to be that much more specific in your shopping trends to get the right deal. And
I totally agree. I found a good deal on the O2 sensor, but it was because it was a Motorcraft one and not a cheap knockoff. I could have gotten a cheap knockoff for like $18.
You see, the O2 sensor is a part I wouldn't skimp on as fast because it's an active component and it does feedback to the computer. It is more specific.
Yes.
But a hose is just a hose. This thing is just passing air. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, and a dryer seal is just a hunk of felt. So stuff like that, that's my metric for deciding where to spend the money or where not to spend the money.
No, I totally agree with where you're going with this. With the EGR valve for the tracker, I was a little bit more liberal because I saw EGR valves going for like $120, $130.
Yeah.
But I found a site that had one. Mm-hmm. The site was like EECP or something. It had an odd name.
Uh-huh.
But there was an EGR valve for like $35.
Okay.
I said, you know what?
Give
that a shot.
It's just like with Rock Auto. That's what made Rock so popular. What they do is that Rock Auto isn't a store. It's not an auto parts store. They're a clearinghouse. They buy, you know, case loads and off runs of stuff. They buy out other places that had stock and then they move it. And I read an article. I think, I don't remember who, if I think maybe Tom Taylor, the president of Rock, might have written it a few years ago. And he said, you know, people ask, how do we sell stuff cheap like this? How do we do it? He goes, well, you know what? We're not in the business to we're not making our business on every single sale. We're looking at the long term and doing multiple and bulk and, you know, a high volume sale. So we'll take a part that we buy for $5 and we'll sell it for $6 or $5, whatever. You know, a small profit margin, because that's why we're in business. We're not going to double it, even though our competitors are selling it for $8, $10, $12, maybe. No. And that was what he said. And that was very, that made sense. It makes sense.
Sure. If you're dealing in volume, it does make sense.
So now I'm wondering about these mooks who are taking apart and selling it for like $50, $60, and somebody else can get away for selling it for $20. Well, maybe the guy at 20 is trying to get it off his shelf and clear inventory. I don't know. You know, right. I don't know the answer to all of that, and I don't know if anybody really does. But if you know the answer, call us at 516-572-7440.
I can tell you how I got burned this week with a cheap thing. I'm in the process of changing the locks on my front and back door.
Okay.
Ever since we had work done on the house, we've used the original locks. And of course, you had to leave the key under the flower pot for any given craftsman that would show up.
Right.
So now it's like, you know what? Maybe it's time to change the locks. Mm-hmm. So I went and bought a set of locks that were, I foregone the $40 and $50 locks because I wanted to get them with the same key.
Right.
So passed on the $50 locks that were two different locks with the same key, and I went with a cheaper model, a $13 lock, just to say it's the lock. Who cares? I'm going to install it myself. It'll be fine. Well, the one lock worked perfectly and is in the door now. The second lock in this little package, I put the key in, and it wouldn't come out.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'm pulling and tugging on the key. It's not coming out of the lock.
Hmm.
I got the lock lined up. Everything is fine. It's not coming out.
Hmm.
So I had to pull the back of there's like a little swing arm that holds the key tumblers together inside the case. I had to pull that out. And of course, when I took that apart and pulled on the barrel, all the tumblers went shooting everywhere.
Wow. Oh, this is fun. This is getting good. You have any video?
I wish.
Yeah, I wish.
Of me laughing.
of me laughing.
Oh, I was just...
I'm sure you were a barrel of laughs at that point.
I was a barrel of laughs. I'm looking at the empty lock now, and I have the tumbler case with the key slides right out now.
Stuff it all back in a box, throw it in a bag, bring it back to Home Depot and say, I need to return this. Go. It doesn't work.
So I put in the order for that $40.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
Well, lock set.
Yeah.
Going, oops.
Yeah.
So yeah, sometimes it backfires. Sometimes, like you say, our wise purchases sometimes bite us in the butt.
You know, and we also sometimes make our own mistakes. I have the fortune of I'm clearing out a little bit of one more piece of garage junk. It's an air compressor I've had for about 8 years. I'm selling it to a guy.
Get rid of it.
You know, but when the guy gave it to me, he says, the thing isn't working. He goes, it was a contractor that I knew. And he said, you know what? He says, you'll probably fix this thing like in 10 minutes for like 10 cents. He goes, and don't tell me that you did it because I'll be pissed off at myself because I didn't do it. Just take it. Okay. So it sat. Well, I decided to take it to look into it. And what I did is I ran it. It filled with air. It shut off. And then it leaked its air down. So I said, okay, I had to chase a couple little leaks here and there and, you know, tighten things up here and there. And then okay. The next day, I ran it again. I ran it up. And it's 125-gallon rated compressor. So it should shut off on the top end at about 125 pounds.
Got it.
And I'm watching the needle getting closer to 150. And I'm saying, So I'm playing with the adjusting screws on the pressure switch.
Right.
And they didn't shut the thing off. They didn't make a difference. So I shut it off manually. I said, okay, maybe that's the problem. Maybe this pressure switch, the points, there's a pair of mechanical points in there. Maybe they're dirty or need cleaning. Let me take this apart. Aired it down, took it apart, and the body of the pressure switch was held on. This is going to be hard to say that. Was
pressure,
held on
pressure, pressure,
with these four right. Torx screws, and I loosened all four, you know, in succession. I didn't just take one out, and as I took one out, loosened the other three, took another. When I got to the fourth one and I took it out, the switch went, bop, it jumped on me against spring pressure, and I was like,
what was that?
It reminded me of when I took my headlight switch apart from my Pontiac. Now, if you've ever had a GM headlight switch from the 60s on up to the 70s, it's a Bakelite body that the plug plugs onto, but the bottom is metal, and there's these six claw-like tangs that you have to undo, and when you do, it goes... It does the same thing, and all these springs go flying.
I was going to say, that turns a half-an-hour job into a two-day job instantly.
I pushed all the parts aside, and I got a hold of Joe, and I said, hey, Joe, I said, can you, in your infinite, in the cavernous catacombs of your technical data mind, can you get me an engineering diagram for this headlight switch? Is it possible? So, because I can get it. I in the factory service manual, there's shows you what the terminals are, you know, what that is. But I need to see the inside of it. And you know what? Joe got that for me.
Really?
So with that, after I cleaned all the terminals and used six of my eight hands, I was able to get the thing together. It was let me tell you. So this is what this switch reminded me of, and it was the same thing. It's a plate.
You got an elbow on it. You got the other hand.
This thing has a plate and the springs, and you have to get it in just right, click it into a groove, and then there it is. You got it. And I could move the on-off thing. I could do it. But even holding it in my hand, it would go, it would pressure off. So as much as I would hold it and turn it to get it into the body, and it would always unclip. And it has to be in that right orientation or you can't bolt it down. So that first day I spent, and it doesn't sound like a lot, I spent an hour and a half constantly resetting it and trying and resetting and trying. Lighting a cigar, resetting and trying. Drinking a coffee, reset. Cigar again. And I finally said, okay, I pushed it to the side and said, I'm done for today.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew the alternative was it was going to be Mikey T across the garage.
It was out the window.
Well, it would bounce off the wall and dented my car. So I said, just push it away, close the door, go in the house.
Know when to say when.
Then I went through the whole water pump job and a couple other things. So yesterday I said, you know what? Let me take one more. Now, of course, I looked this thing up online, and it's very specific to that compressor. It's very it's like $80 for this stupid thing.
Oh, boy.
I dug out an old compressor that had a switch. It's not compatible. I said, okay, it's either fix this or spend the money. Now, for $80, I'm only selling the thing for $150, so, like, that's kind of crazy, you know?
Yeah, you're not really making a lot on it, but it'd still be making, but not a lot. Right.
So I lit another cigar. I put on some more good music. I sat down again with a cup of coffee, and I tried it again. And I gave it two or three failed attempts, but I didn't get upset because I knew that I failed. And I said, okay, what can I do? And I took this nice little clamp I have, and I clamped the damn thing. I said, I don't think this is going to hold it. I think my fingers are stronger than the clamp. Well, it held it. I was able to turn it, put it on, drop it down slowly, put those Torx screws in, and then as I'm tightening it, I saw the body drop down, and then when I felt I was low enough, I pulled that clamp out. It didn't respring, and now it worked. And I'm like, yes! So
you got it to work.
I got it to work. Put it back together, add the thing up, made some adjustments. It's going to its new home today. So
great!
So the takeaway is, we all do things like this with our hands, and we do stuff on the bench. And my takeaway that I'd like to impart on other people is, don't give up right away. You know, be a little stubborn, you know, assert yourself. And especially when it does start kicking your ass, push it aside, walk away, come back again with a fresh head, and try. Sometimes just another day makes all the difference in the world.
I told you, my dad used to say, go to the bathroom. He'd say, he'd go, put your brains in your hand and go to the bathroom. Right. And then come back and work on it. And it was amazing how many times, it would just break that bond free after a while.
Because
I used to do it working on computer problems all day long. I'd be working on something and it just wouldn't work. It just wouldn't jive. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go to the bathroom. Come back, sit down. All of a sudden, it worked.
I'll tell you something. Computer problems are still the one thing that has me. It's right here. They have me on a very short fuse. I hate it. I hate them. I yell at that freaking computer. I was going through one, like, you know, with our show. I had to update the show and send it up to you and all, and I couldn't get the file. The software updated. I couldn't get the file size down low enough. So our Eye in the Sky web guy sent an email out this week with, you know, a nice web grab of how to do it. And I'm like, okay, well, that's what I was doing. I found the problem. It was the resolution of the screen. It wasn't letting me drop down far enough to find the lower resolutions. So I had the screen. I was in the right spot, but I couldn't see what I needed to see. And now,
what a pain in the butt.
With a fresh head, I re-resolutioned it, and now I can see everything I need. So thanks, Jim, for that. But now I'll be okay. I'll back up to speed again. But computer stuff gets me.
Well, they always say computers will tell you what's wrong, but they won't tell you how to fix it.
And the other thing is, even with the software, I was having trouble with the download where it would open, but then it wouldn't do anything. No. Okay. You do this, you do that. You reboot, restart, do this. No. And then you never know when you did the right thing.
Right.
You know, and then all of a sudden it works. And you're like, well, what did I do? I don't know what I did. You know?
Doesn't that torture you?
That's why I'll spend time with a pressure switch on the bench. I'll fight with a car problem. It's a mechanical thing, and I can understand the mechanical thing. The computer stuff, it's got a mind of its own, and it's out to get me. And you know what? I'm gonna run from it before it gets me. I've been watching my Twilight Zone DVD box set. I'm not gonna let it get in my brain and kill me. But I'll tell you what. Bottom of the hour, Chris.
I love when I touch a nerve.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you didn't have to prod that. Bottom of the hour, we're going to talk weather today. It's partly cloudy. Yeah, it's kind of a gray day, 68 degrees. Tonight, cloud and showers developing after midnight, low of 51. It's nice. Get out and do something like I will. And let me tell you about...
And here in the Nutmeg State, it's everything you just said, just about 10 degrees cooler.
Right. So let me tell you about something that's going on here that's kind of interesting, and it's prophetic at the college. WHPC, this fine station, turns 50 years old this Thursday, October the 27th. Yes.
Damn.
We will be having an on-air celebration, and everybody's invited. Mm-hmm. If you listen on the 27th, starting at 8:30 a.m., you'll hear special guests, including the Town of Hempstead Supervisor Don Claven, Town of North Hempstead Supervisor Jennifer DeSanta, Nassau Community College's own interim president and a personal friend of mine, Dr. Maria Gonzati, and more. So thanks for allowing us to broadcast 50 years of non-commercial educational radio, and happy golden anniversary to all of my coworkers here at WHBC, even you, Chris.
Wow.
So,
and we were here for 20 of that 50.
That's right. That's not quite half, but it's close.
It's close.
So do we have a honor group of the hour for today?
Well, of course we do on this fine upstanding Sunday. The Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour this week. Our parallel parkers. That's right. Pat yourself on the back. Can you judge the size and scope of a parking spot just by gliding past it? Can you drop it in reverse, flip your right arm over your seat, and spin your head in the direction of the rear window in one fluid motion? Can you roll the vehicle into the spot effortlessly without tapping the vehicle behind you or even rubbing the curb? Do you scoff at reverse cameras or warning buzzers as simple annoyances that distract from the sheer talents of what you do, parallel park? Well, if you can still utilize some of the supreme urban talents that most suburbanites lost long ago and actually parallel park a vehicle, then you are part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. There you go.
Nice. I made another one. Very good. All right. And with that, we're going to take a break. We're going to do a little stuff here and play a couple of earbud things you may want to listen to, some cool stuff on 90.3 WHPC. You know what? Tear it up, Chris, just for you.
Come a step to this!
My name is Carl Anthony with Automoblog and AutoVision News, and you're listening to Ray and Chris on Motormouth Radio, WHPC 90.3 FM.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español. We'll be right back. More information is available at 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Hey, how's it going? First time caller here. Everybody on a Sunday, work on your car and listen to the show.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. Chris, I didn't get to chat with you.
This is a great show. I'm checking off all the boxes.
Motor Mouth!
Hey, I don't mess with stock. Stock stinks.
He was under a car or under somebody else's car.
I wanted to commend you on your selection of music.
Motor Mouth!
Cars are for driving, not for eating it.
Even if Ray is talking to Chris on the phone,
Motor Mouth!
In the same room, I'm doing my show.
Get some advice on getting my lawnmower to start up.
Our trained staff of two will help.
And typically, we don't work on that kind of car.
Yeah, I was going to call in, and your guest mentioned my dilemma.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Every Sunday, 12 o'clock, my phone goes, Motor Mouth Radio.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
Nobody knows your car's like you.
Ray was here early, but then he had to go through this thing that he does on Sundays.
And what do you have, like 9 people listening to you right now?
Motor Mouth!
Millions of listeners, 9 paying attention.
Hush your mouth and play some more good music.
You just went for 2+ hours on Thursday talking about cars and stuff. I want to see you do 2 minutes. Because you are a motor mouth, my friend.
I am a motor mouth.
Let's face it.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motor Mouth.
Hey, you, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motor Mouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer, 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
My life on the streets. Have you learned something?
Yes, I've learned to have you stop picking the music.
We've learned that Chris hates the music. And now we're back to the phones and the fun, and we're going to say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, Ray and Chris. Just checking in. As you can hear, I'm in the dune buggy. Put about 50 on the southern state.
Oh, it's...
telling you, listening to you guys. I did the big loop today down through OBI, up to the Atlantic, up to Atlantic Chevy. Had a Corvette show.
Okay.
Just heading back. Put about 70 miles on the buggy today and listening to you guys.
Nice.
How, so as usual.
How are all the modifications on the dune buggy fleshing out for you, Cliff? You've done a lot of work to it.
It's all doing good now.
Nice.
Right now you got me at about 55. That's about as safe as I feel like going with it.
I don't blame you. Very good.
I'm
very good.
Stayed about 109 listening to you guys and just checking in.
Excellent. Very good. Good to hear from you. I'm glad you had a good time.
Just went to a funny show. I went to the show out at Atlantic Chevrolet. They had for the Long Island Tech Club was having a show. And I just have to tell you a funny thing. I think you find it funny. It was like, it must have been like 20 C8s in a judging class. How do you judge a brand new car?
Well, I'll tell you this. Back in the day, when I had my when I bought my Impala Supersport, I was in the Long Island Supersport team, the club. And the same thing, we would bring 20 to 30 or 35 cars to a show, and they said, hey, you're all new cars. We don't want you. How do you judge this? Well, what we did was, it was Bob Davern from the Monster Mash who let us do this. He said, you guys judge your cars. Don't put them as part of the other. And then we'll award the trophies. So we said, okay, cool, because we know what we're looking at. So we did that, and the other people didn't feel like they were up against a bunch of new cars. So that, in my impression, that was the best way to do it because it kept everybody happy.
It is, yep. I hear you.
So
anyway, just checking in. Wanted to say hello. Had a great show. I'm going to turn the radio back up real loud because it's hard to hear anything.
Nice.
But I am listening to you guys.
All right, Cliff. Thanks for the call.
See you. See you later, guys.
All right, Cliff. So long.
Beach buggy, Cliff. Take care. Be safe.
Yeah, cruising the dune buggy.
That's amazing.
Nice.
I love it. You know, it's so funny how varied some car guys are when it comes down to tastes and vehicles. Because I thought Cliff was, we've known Cliff a long time, and he was like a dyed-in-the-wool Mopar fan.
That's right.
And was paying homage to his Roadrunner, and then all of a sudden, it's like the Roadrunner's gone, and he buys a dune buggy. And I'm like, wow, you got to tip your hat to someone like that to go, you're not in one set of of individuals. You're varied in your automotive preferences.
Right.
And I kind of like that. I kind of dig it.
Well, our new preference is to go back to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Gentlemen, Christian Ray.
Bob, how are you?
Robert.
I'm doing well. I'm caulking the master bath shower.
All right. All right. Yeah. Well, we talk about home stuff, so what the heck?
Why not? Home and garden show right here.
Well, one thing is, now that Chris had mentioned you drive a Trek?
No, yeah, a Tracker.
A Tracker. Okay, so the Tracker. Right, so guess the only thing I've been seeing on the roads these days are Samurais and Tracker.
Oh, wow.
And I wake up screaming, and I'm like, Chris. That hump.
I don't blame you, Cliff. I don't blame you.
So do I. Bob, so do I. I wake up screaming, too. I can't tell you how many times I mention this car to people, and they go, they're still on the road?
Yeah.
It's just too funny. I'm like, I see one more. I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
So I knew this girl. I won't mention her name. Tall blonde. She had a Samurai. I don't know how she fit into it. And she drove that thing like it was a water buffalo.
Explain that, please.
What is that?
How she never flipped it, although she flipped her Firebird. How she never flipped her Suzuki, I'll never know. She was an animal.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, it's great. So I was over at Tire Town the other day.
Oh, good. You saw a friend Joe?
I didn't go in because I had to talk to the gentleman next door.
Okay, so, yeah. Okay.
There was I have only seen it once, an absolutely smoking 1970 GTO.
Was it green. Gold? Was it goldish in color?
No, it was green, and had some pin on the back that wrote, Midnight Rider.
Was this at Tire Town?
This is at Tire Town.
Okay, that's the guy Jeff, the guy who's on the desk now with Joe. That's Jeff's car.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things.
Yep. Yeah, we were talking when I brought my car in for inspection. He was going all over it, as Pontiac guys often do. And I haven't seen his car yet, but I've heard about it. I heard it's real nice. He took a long time restoring that car.
Oh, he did? Okay, because yeah. It's one of those things, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, so, you know, we get it. Just
right.
And if you recall, remember the first time you were in 69, 70, and 71 goats, how you know, you just absolutely love them, you know, just almost like a Buick Grand Sport, you know.
Well, you know, that was the thing. 68 was the year of the body change in, well, back then GM changed the body every couple of years, but that was the major body change to the Coke bottle styling. And
right. And, I'm a 69, 70 fan. I know they're different. I like the 69 because it's the year that follows 68 in slight modifications, you know, the grill.
Okay.
A couple other things they did. So I'm coming back from Huntington during the rainstorm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all the way on the North Shore. It's just dogs, rain and dogs. I get.
Where were the cats?
Three blocks. This was Thursday when he had the storm.
Oh, that was not a cat day. You're right.
They're with the water buffaloes.
Right.
I'm 3 blocks from home, 3 minutes from home, after an hour on the roadway.
Uh-huh.
And I get a load of this. I hit half a yard of asphalt one halfway into the roadway in my truck. Somebody had started some work. They dumped like 2 yards of dirt, half a yard of asphalt in halfway into the roadway, and I didn't see it.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. So you hit like a pile of asphalt.
I hit a pile of asphalt in torrential rain in the truck.
Oh, no. At least you were in the truck.
It alarmed my daughter, and she's pretty tough. And I'm like.
Yeah.
And so it actually, get a load of this, it stalled the truck after I drove through it.
Wow.
Holy moly.
So subsequently, did it do any damage underneath?
Yeah. The you know, it's funny, too. Of course, I put new fog lights in it, right? I put new fog lights in the lower balance.
Right.
I guess you'll be doing that again.
Oh, God. So I took a couple pictures. I'm going to call my guy on Monday, the highway department.
Right.
And find out who this hump was that...
They put it in the hump.
Yeah, maybe it fell out of the back of the truck or something. Who knows?
Yeah.
Just wow. Unbelievable, you know? So
right.
So those are my stories. I really like the tracker story. You know, my teeth are clenched when I think of Chris.
I know. We all are, Bob. Don't worry. We've been doing that for years. That's...
Bob, I like your tracker story better.
Yeah. We all do that for years, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was a doll driving that thing.
Nice.
Anyway, hey guys, have a lovely continuance.
All right.
And always a pleasure listening to you guys.
A pleasure having you on, Bob. Thanks.
Yes, thank you, Bob.
All right.
making me chuckle.
Hello.
All right. Talk to you later, Bob. Thanks. Bye. We got a little snafu in the phone thing here. I don't know what happened.
Oh,
okay. I was trying to pick up another call. Caller, I know who you are. Call back, please. As I hit the button, you hung up, so... We have another call.
I think I've mentioned the story before. Many, many years ago, we were given... I used to work for a promotions department of a major New York radio station.
Yeah.
And we were given two Suzuki Samurais.
Uh-huh.
The early ones, like early 90s Samurais, brand new. We had a promotional deal with Suzuki at the time. And one of them was an automatic and the other one was a stick. They were both convertibles. And I remember nobody in the promotional department knew how to drive a stick.
Yeah.
So the car was basically mine because I was the only one that knew how to drive a stick in the crowd.
And that's
so
questionable
everybody
too.
Took turns running the automatic and I had the stick to myself. And I loved it.
Right, right.
Even then, I was like, let's see if we can flip this thing over. Never did, but yeah, I love those little things. So when I drive the tracker, it reminds me of the old days.
All right. Let's go back to the old days in the phones and say hi. Call, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Liz.
Hey, Liz, how are you?
Liz, hi.
Hi. Just to say hello and to tell you that I'm still driving my beloved Element.
Wow. How many miles on it now, Liz?
167,000.
Okay, very good, very good. Any major complaints or repairs?
No, absolutely not. Everybody is chasing me to buy it, but I don't want to sell it.
Right.
And right. I replaced the ignition key, the ignition thing, and other than that, nothing. You know, nothing major.
Just, very good.
Yeah. So. I am not looking for what the electric cars at all.
Right.
No, it's not me. And on top of that, I enjoy a stick shift, as you know.
Yes.
And so that's the story. So I'm very happy to hear you, to listen to your good advice about bikes. And so... just to say hello.
Excellent. Thanks, Liz. Well, don't be a stranger. Call back again. It was great to hear from you.
Yes, thank
great
you so much.
For you too.
Okay,
God
Liz.
Bless.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Liz has one of the best cars to combat the electric cars.
You know, the Element is a vehicle that has gotten now to somewhat of a cult status where people, you know, I was wondering if the Cube also has that kind of a cult status.
You know what? I don't think yet, but it will.
Yeah.
The Toyota Cube. Yes.
Right.
The Nissan Cube, I'm sorry. Yes, I think that you're absolutely right. I think it will achieve cult status because it was a car ahead of its time, and it was just so strange, but people are going to embrace it. I do agree with you there. You know me, I always like to see what's on the horizon as far as collectability, and I do think you're right about that.
You know, funny you ask what's on the horizon. I want to tell you what's on the horizon for this show.
Tell me.
Next week...
You found a new co-host.
No. I put ads in every trade paper. I've put billboards. I've bombed social media, and everybody said, get out of here. No. Only Joe was silly enough to do that.
He was, wasn't he?
But no, next week, we're going to have return guest who we had on earlier this year, Mr. Tom Sarmento, who was the mechanic, the head mechanic for the Dukes of Hazzard, who became a stuntman. And he wrote a book about his time with the with that endeavor, with the Hazard County. So probably Bill Wondolowski will be with us on that show as well. And that's next Sunday. The Sunday following that, on the 30th.
I'm looking forward to that show, yes.
We're going to have Mr. Clint Rhodes. Clint is the owner of a company that makes a tool called the Handy Clamp. It's H-A-N-D-E-E. Clamp, and it's a method, it's a tool that lets you hold a nut, bolt, screw, or something up out of your way where your hand couldn't reach, so your other hand can get in and put the other side of it on or whatever. Sometimes you just need a third hand that kind of helps give that to you. So
right. It's a tool that helps you save your bacon.
Yeah, I guess you could probably flip bacon with it too. So that's what we got going on in the next 2 weeks here. We have some more, you know, like I said, some more guests. We'll have some fun. So
sounds good. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
You and I and the new guest host. You know what? Bob brought up a good point about cars that are everywhere and Hondas. And up here in the Nutmeg State, up here in the Constitution State, I can't tell you how many Honda CRVs are up here. Ray, it is Ray. It is an epidemic. I swear to you, you can't swing a dead cat or a live one and not hit one of these things.
You know, you think you're so special up there. Down here, it's the CRVs and the RAV4s, and that's why when my older daughter was looking for a vehicle, an SUV type, I recommended to her, actually it was after talking to Joe and getting his impressions too, to look for a CRV or a RAV4 because it's just, you know, it's the right size if you don't have a giant family or giant Great Dane dogs or anything. They're easy to fix. They're affordable. They run well. The Honda and the Toyota can go forever. Minimal problems with them. And hence, yeah, I see them up here too. My sister-in-law even has a hybrid RAV4. Which is pretty cool. So yeah, they are down here, same thing. They're all over the place.
Oh my gosh, they're everywhere. It is amazing. I can count at least 10 of them, like here on my street.
Right.
Which is just incredible enough as it is, because I think it's like 12 cars. County mine.
Right. That is pretty interesting,
so,
isn't it?
Yeah. So yeah, it really is. Just to see those things, and I do what Bob does. I'm like, my teeth clench. It's like, enough already. I remember when we were growing up, when we were kids, and everywhere were 65 and 66 Chevys I was growing up.
Yes, sure.
And I always remember that was the first car that I just got tired of looking at.
Maybe that's why I owned so many of them back then, because they were so easy to get and so cheap. And, you know, and I wouldn't mind having another one now. I would.
You know, I had one for a very short period of time until I realized that the frame had rotted away and I had to go back to the auction house. Yeah.
That's kind of odd.
I had a 65 Chevy Sport Coupe. Wow. It was white with a blue interior. It was really nice. And my dad and I, when I was a kid, we bought it from an auction. And literally no one took the time to look under it because there was no frame.
Right.
So we had it for a week and we took it back to the auction house and they gave us our money back on it, basically, which was unheard of. But it had no frame. I mean, literally, the frame was gone.
Maybe that car. Yeah, that's odd, because I had a number of them, and even a station wagon. And that's the one thing that didn't go bad was the frame.
Wow. Yeah, they were impossible. I remember here in the five boroughs, they were just, a lot of them had frame damage. And even looking online now, like I wouldn't pass up on a 65 or 66 Chevy if it was the right car, but a lot of them have a ton of rot. I mean, structural issues that,
well, by
you
now,
see one, yeah, you see one for a good price and you just go, no, just, they start talking to you about the rear sub going on a lot of Mopars and the perimeter frames going on some of the mid 60s GMs.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I haven't heard really about that, truthfully, but I one thing, I was watching a video last night on YouTube by this guy, Kiwi Classics. He's a guy that Uncle Tony DeFeo, highlights a lot down there in Tennessee. He's from Australia and he does a lot of repair. He does a lot of nice quality work too. Right. And he pulls in a little bit of everything. And last video, he pulled in a Bullet Bird, a 61 maybe. I think 61 or 62 T-Bird. You know what? I really like those cars. I always did. Too. I like that car. I like the styling and everything. And I said, wow, you know, if one of those came by, I would have a hard time Passing on it. I really would.
You'd look good in it.
I don't know. And of course, if it was a convertible, it'd be even better.
But, or a sports roadster.
I really like that. I always liked the Bullet Bird. I always did. Mm-hmm. And I would take one over the, over the Square Bird or even over the two seater. I would. I just kind of like that design.
No, it's funny because I must admit, Thunderbirds are cars that I just like every one of them, every one of those styles up until like around 67 where I go, they're okay.
Right.
But anyone from those 10 years from 55 up to 66 are really, and they're all different. They're all incredibly different, and I love them all.
I would consider a Square Bird. I like the 58, 59s. I like the Square Bird style. I kind of like, they had the 312s in them. I know they, but some of them had a 312 with dual quads. That was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Didn't they have the police? What was the police engine in that? There was like a 392, I think it was.
Okay.
It was an Interceptor or a 406. Not a 406.
The 406 was in the Galaxies. Yeah, that was the big one.
Yeah, you couldn't get that in a Thunderbird.
No.
You were able to get a big motor in it. And there was only, I think it was 1 year only, maybe 60.
Okay.
But I don't know. My memory is not the way it used to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are just great, great cars. I'm with you. They just sit nicely. They ride well. I remember a buddy of mine had a 58, and it was really a nice car to ride in.
I tell you what.
Really cool.
Type in Kiwi Classics and check out it's his latest video. You'll see. Just to drop something else on you. Now that I was working on the car the other day, I was out in the driveway. I used my new Quick Jacks to get it up. And so I was, you think, wow, in the sun, it's the best way to work. You got great light. You know what? Sunlight is not nowhere near as good as shop light.
Well, yeah. I
was even in the wheel well trying to take some of the clips off to remove the fender liner, and it was too bright.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I couldn't see well enough.
Take note. October sun up here in this northeast area. October sun and March sun. If you're on the road, it's glaring, and it's usually those 2 months for some reason.
Yeah,
the sun is just piercing. It's at that right angle that just it gets in your way.
Yeah,
it gets in your way. Happens in March in the spring. It happens in October in the fall. So be careful out there when you're on the roads and highways and byways.
I was really sitting there going, no, too bright.
Yeah.
It's like, and then I was trying to take some pictures, and you get like either the hot, harsh glare of the sun, and then the dark.
Right.
What a pain in the neck. It would have been so much easier.
It's a photographer's nightmare. You're looking for a nice overcast day. Yeah,
but keep your eyes out, because I'm going to put the post up and on that stuff. And
look
now,
forward to it.
But for now, we got to get out of here. So, Chris, what do we say to all the people in the parking lot who are waiting for me that want to talk about more Motor Mouth Radio? What do we say?
Don't follow us home unless you can parallel park.
Right. All right. So, Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, Motor Mouth Radio out next week. Tom Sormento, Bill Wondolowski. See you next week.
See you, bye.
90.3 WHBC.